that is not mentioned anywhere in the Bible except here and one other place, and his name is Ananias. And Ananias' name means whom Jehovah has graciously given. Now, I guess we should ask ourselves that question. Could people say of you and I, there is someone that Jehovah graciously gave to us? Amen? That's this fellow's mantra, his calling card right there. And he is described in verse 10 of Acts chapter 9. He is a certain disciple. And aren't we certain disciples? Amen? I think the word certain there, of course, just means that he is a particular one. But I'm sure he was also certain about what he was doing. Certain disciple. At Damascus. That's an interesting place, by the way. He's not in Israel per se, but up north a little bit. And the Lord spoke to him in a vision and called his name. And what did the man say? He said, I am here, Lord. Amen. Now, I already in verse 10 see several things about this fellow I think we can learn from. Have you ever, I trust the answer to this question will be yes. Have you ever prayed and said, Lord, please use me? Amen? Now, God doesn't use everyone the same way, does he? For example, Ananias is not nearly as well known in the Bible as the man he's about to minister to. But you think of Ananias as the one that prepared Paul for the next steps, and you've heard about Paul. We don't hear a lot more about Ananias, but we do know this. He was available, and God used him, and there might not be much said about him, but I think the Bible says all we need to know. Here's a fellow we can learn from. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I'm going to read Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 10, and I'll read down all towards the end of the chapter, but not all the way, maybe verse 22, and then we'll have a word of prayer. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9 and verse 10, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Amen. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this evening. Lord, I pray that we would have our hearts and minds stayed on you right now, that we would listen to what the Bible has to say, and that we would be not undistracted. We would not be thinking about things to come in the days ahead or plans we might have. But Lord, just keep us focused on you tonight. Help us to learn from this man named Ananias. And we also see some things we can learn from the conversion of Saul and how he turned from being an enemy of the cross to being a great advocate and a great apostle that changed many people's lives. I just pray you'd bless us tonight. Guard us, direct us. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. To be useful to God, there are two or three things that you have to have in your life. They're not impossible. They're not always easy. But you see them in Ananias' life, and they're very interesting. The first one we see very clearly there in verse 10, when the Lord calls him and he says, "Behold, I am here, Lord." The first thing we ought to be is available to God. All the time. You say, "Well, Pastor, sometimes I can't be available." That was not what Ananias said. Before he even knew what the Lord was going to ask of him, he said, "I'm here." When's God going to use you next? What do you think? Might be tonight. Might be tomorrow. Might be the day after that. Might be all of those. But we have to be ready to be used by God. Brother Mendez often talks about preparing your heart. And prepare your heart each morning by having a time with the Word of God in the Bible and spending some time with God. We need to be prepared. I'm fascinated by the fact that this fellow could just simply say without reservation, "I'm here, Lord." Some other people in the Bible said that. We won't get into that right now. I've talked to you about that before. But look at his availability. And then in verses 11 through 14, there's nothing less than a conversation here. The Lord talks to him in verse 11 and gives him some instructions. And in verse 13, Ananias answers to the Lord and has some concerns. And in verse 15, the Lord says, "Go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me." And you can see Ananias had a legitimate concern. But folks, when God's got a plan, it's a good plan. I think anybody here that's, for example, our Christian school teachers or anyone in full-time Christian service, even folks that are volunteers, but if you're a pastor or, you know, if you've been called into the ministry, there was probably some thought about whether or not that would work. You know, how's God going to provide for you? What about your limitations? Moses said, "Lord, I can't speak." And then someone said, "Well, that's why he got stuck with Aaron." And Aaron was a lot of trouble for Moses. But when Ananias was talked to by the Lord, they had just a regular old conversational fellowship. I am astounded. I'm amazed at this man's fellowship with the Lord. He says, the Lord talks to him. He talks to the Lord. There's a detailed conversation here. What kind of relationship do you and I have with the Lord? Can you have a conversation with him? Have you ever had the Lord just talk to you? Now be careful. Sometimes what we think, we want something and we'll think God says we can have it. But I found out that in the Bible, God can be very detailed. He can tell you where to go, what to do, what not to do. And he can give you very specific instructions. And then I was reading, I told you about that book I found over on the school bookshelf. That's talking about spiritual warfare and living a spiritual life. And there again, I saw an example. This man, you may know of him. He was a preacher in China in the early 1900s named Watchman Nee. N-E-E is the way they spell his name. It's not the whole thing really, but part of it. And even he talked about how the Lord had directed him in certain ways. And he mentioned something that I know has happened to you. Have you ever been in a store or at a restaurant or somewhere and the Lord says, "Give that person a tract"? Anybody ever have that happen? Yeah. I didn't hear an audible voice, but I knew good and well that's what God wanted me to do. Or maybe the Lord would direct you to talk to somebody. Or maybe you had some concern, the Lord would just comfort you right away. We don't hear voices, but we have a God who talks to us. And he's very detailed. And by the way, he will never say anything to you that's contradictory to his word. It'll always agree with the Bible. But God directs us, and there was a conversational fellowship here. Ananias talks to the Lord talks to him. This is elementary. We know how we talk to the Lord. We talk to him in prayer. But do you just pray once or twice a day? Oh, I don't think so. I think throughout the day, have you ever just gone through the day and you get ready to do something and say, "Lord, help me"? I like Brother Mendez talks about how when he leaves his garage door, he always prays before he leaves because the Lord has blessed him by that way. He knows the garage door is shut for one thing. And it's a blessing to pray. But conversational fellowship with the Lord, and if God's going to be able to use you, you are going to have to be available, and you need to be in fellowship with Him. And why would you not be in fellowship with Him? What would prevent that? Hopefully, your life is right with Him, and you can do that. And then, as it continues, after Ananias gives the observation there in verse 13 that this fellow's done much evil, and verse 14, he's got authority to bind and imprison people. In verse 15, the Lord comes back to him and he says, "Go thy way." And what is his way? He doesn't mean go thy way as in do what you want to do. He says, "Go thy way." What he really means is go my way. Go God's way. What is our way? Is your way God's way? Ought to be, amen? He says, "Go thy way." The Lord heard his objection, but the Lord knew that already. The Lord, when he calls you to a task or to the ministry or to whatever it is he calls you to, when he puts you somewhere, he knows the limitations that you face. But again, like we talked about this morning, greater is he that is in you than is he that's in the world. God's big enough to overcome those. And as we know by having the rest of the story, there was no threat really to Ananias. Paul was waiting on him to show up and do what he did. So the Lord says, "Go thy way," in verse 15, and that's Ananias' way is God's way. And then he tells him about Paul being a chosen vessel to bear his name and how he's going to suffer great things for the Lord's sake. So Ananias, he's available, he's got a good fellowship with the Lord, and he's obedient. You might ask the question, what is God? What does God want you and I personally, not just in general, but you and I to do this week? Amen? Are there some things? Talking to some folks before the service, and we have some visits we would like to make on Tuesday night. Some folks that are ready for visits, would you come out and go? Amen? So, Pastor, that might be a fearful thing. Oh, wait a minute. Ananias was afraid. Ananias had a lot more to be afraid of than you do, because Paul had a history of destroying Christians. And I've been on visitation rather faithfully, I'd say weekly with almost no exceptions now since 80-something, 87 maybe, 88. So for, I don't know, 30 years, I haven't been killed yet, hadn't been hurt yet. I know a guy that got dog bit. In fact, he's sitting right here. And we have seen some occasions to where there was some potential, but it's not dangerous. Serving God, even if it is dangerous, is safe because God's the one that keeps us safe. And I do not know why God let that dog bite Mr. Mendez, but God had a plan. Amen? And he's doing fine. He's here tonight. No, Ananias was obedient in spite of the danger. You and I should be as well if we want God to use us. Amen? Now, look at the results. And this is, we'll spend a little more time here perhaps. Paul had been the outspoken, well-known, publicly feared enemy of people who named the name of Christ. He was not just anybody. He was somebody that everyone knew about. And I'm interested in how much Ananias knows. We won't get into that too much. But he even knew that Paul had authority to come to Damascus and persecute the Christians there. But when Paul got saved, he got changed. Now, again, what's the question? The question is, how can we be useful to God? How can we be useful to God? In Ananias' case, you see the availability, you see the fellowship, you see the obedience. But there's something else that God can do that I want him to do, and I hope you do as well. And that is, he can change us. He can make you want things you didn't want, and he can make you not want things you did want. He can make you a person you used to not be and make you not be the person that you were. And let me just put it this way. If he can do the work that he did in Paul, what kind of work can he do in our life? Amen? Now, again, are we available? Are we in fellowship with him? Are we ready to obey? All that's overshadowed by what God can do in you. And folks, at the end of the day, I know I use that phrase too much, but when it's all said and done, it's really what God does that makes a difference. It's not what I do. It's not who I am or who you are. A fellow told me one time, he said, he had gotten saved. He said, I think I'll be a really good soul winner. I'm very conversational. Well, a lot of people are conversational, but that's not what makes a good soul winner. You can break the ice and it helps. And if you're afraid to talk, that hurts. But what makes a good soul winner is when God saves a soul. I've told you this story, I think one time at least, but there was an attorney and he had invited a man to go to a fellowship lunch. And the man was lost, and the attorney knew it, and the attorney was saved, and the fellow that was preaching that day, or speaking that day, was saved. And he thought, if this man came and heard this message at this lunch, maybe he'd get saved. And so the two of them went to the lunch, and the man stood up, and the man did, according to the attorney, who should know him, and he speaks for a living, the man did the most horrible job you can imagine. He just didn't do good at all. And the attorney was sitting there thinking, oh, this is so bad. I brought this fellow to this lunch hoping he'd get saved. And here this man, he's done such a poor job. And the presentation was weak and the gospel wasn't clear. And what a sad thing. And at the end of the meeting, the man that he had invited said to him, have you ever heard anything so wonderful? That was great. And the fellow got saved. We had a man come to our church in Utah one time. He was a missionary going to Mexico. And he was working in the states that, the Mexican regions that border Texas. He'd go into those border towns, and there's some really hard places there. And he would get on a bus in Mexico, just get up in a public bus and start preaching the gospel. And that's one way. I'm not going to condemn that. That's not a bad way, perhaps. And especially in Mexico, it's a different culture down there. And we listened to the man preach, and I thought, you know, he doesn't seem to have a very good vocabulary. He doesn't seem to have a great, great, great knowledge of the Bible. He wouldn't do bad, but he could have done better, perhaps. He doesn't seem to have a lot of eloquence or oratory skills or homiletic skills or whatever. But, you know, they don't need that in Mexico. They need to hear the gospel. God didn't prepare that man, and you might remember that sometimes when missionaries come through here. If you think, well, they don't sound as eloquent as some pastors maybe, or they're not as well prepared or whatever. God didn't call them to be a preacher in the States. He called them to be a missionary in a foreign field. And he prepared them to be what they needed to be for that job. You might say to yourself, I don't have certain skills. I don't have certain abilities. I don't have certain whatever. God prepared you for what he wants to use you for. I asked myself the question, why is this fellow in Damascus? Because that's where God was going to use him. And later on, by the way, don't turn there right now, but later on in Acts chapter 22, Paul talks about this man and he tells of this of Ananias. He says, he was a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there. As he and Paul was talking to the Jews in Jerusalem at the time, and when he was describing his conversion, he mentioned Ananias. There again, you want to be used by God. God made Ananias a devout man. He gave him a good report of all the Jews that dwelt there. God's the one that changes us. You say, I don't feel like I'm ready yet. Ask God to get you ready. I don't feel like I have a certain ability. Well, you know, God may use you in your weakness. He might be strong. Or God might use you in your insufficiency. He might be more than sufficient. Look what God did with Paul. Now, let's just kind of zero in on that for about 10 minutes or so, and then we'll come to a conclusion here. But look at what happened with Paul. First of all, in verse 11, it says, he prayeth. Now, we already know the story. We saw it before where Paul was converted. After you get saved, you ought to have a life of prayer. No, let me say that differently. You have the privilege of having a life of prayer. You have the opportunity to talk to God anytime you want to. Now, I think sometimes we are guilty of taking that for granted. But literally, as you go through your day, there's not a single time you can't stop and talk to God. Paul was praying, and that was different. I don't know what kind of prayers he had before he got saved. I know he was a religious man, but when you get saved, you can talk to God. And if you ever listen to people talk to God, I was, we had a building project in Maryland, and literally 100 yards away from our church, there was a Presbyterian church. And I went there for some, zoning meeting. They had a zoning meeting because they were going to add a parking lot to their property. And I thought, oh, I'll go up there and see what happens, because I knew we were going to have a zoning meeting, and I kind of wanted to see how it went. And so I went up there to the zoning meeting, and somehow or another the Presbyterian, I can't think of his title, but we'll call him a pastor, he was had the occasion to pray. And I listened to the man pray, and I'm sorry to say this, but I thought, this man doesn't know the Lord. I could just somehow, I could tell by listening to his prayer, he's not talking to the same God I talk to. There's something not right there. The other side of that coin, we went to, when my son Tim graduated from basic training in the Navy, we went up to his graduation exercise, and big to-do, and hundreds and hundreds of men were graduating, and some ladies as well, and they had a huge audience, and they had the chaplain there, and the chaplain stood up in the beginning of the service, or of the ceremony, and he prayed, and instantly I thought, that man knows the Lord. There's a fellow that can talk to the Lord. There's somebody. I was glad to hear that a Navy chaplain was saved, because not all chaplains are saved, I'm sorry to say. But that one was. Paul prayeth. When you get saved, your prayer is different, isn't it? In the first place, now you have a basis to come to the throne of grace, because you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You come in His righteousness. You come in His name, in His will. Paul prayed. That was different about him than what it before he was saved. In verse 18, it says, immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. He received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. I don't talk about this as much as I should, I suppose. But folks, when you get saved, you ought to be baptized. There's no reason not to. There's a great reason to be baptized. It's been a while since we've baptized anybody, and that just concerns me a little bit. I'd like to see some folks get saved and baptized. Amen? Now, what's baptism, Pastor? Baptism is an act of obedience. Jesus said that we ought to be baptized. In the Bible, it says be baptized, every one of you, in Acts chapter 2. But what is baptism? Identification with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ in a public way as God commanded us to do it. And it is something that everyone should do. And Paul would have never done that until the Lord changed his life, until the Lord came into his heart. Paul would never have identified with Christ. And now he readily does that by being baptized. In verse 19, it says, he received meat, was strengthened. He was certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. You know, when you get saved, it changes your fellowship, doesn't it? I do not have close friendships with anybody that I know that's not a born-again Christian. I just can't. Even when I was back in Salt Lake City before I went into the ministry and I was working in the industry, I was saved. I was going to a Baptist church. I was serving God. I was doing things like bus ministry and that sort of thing. And I knew some people in the public sector or in the private sector that were in data processing. And during the day, we'd work together. But that was the extent of it. My friends were Christians. God changes you and gives you new friends, doesn't he? By the way, eternal friends, friends that you'll be with for all eternity. So his fellowship changed. Then in verse 20, I like this. Straightway, when you see that word in the Bible, it means right then, right away. He preached Christ in the synagogues. And you've heard messages about this. If we're going to tell somebody how to get saved, we need to tell them about Christ. We need to pass out tracts that talk about Christ. We need to tell our friends. It's not, don't tell them I started going to church. That's nice. Don't even tell them you got baptized. That's nice too. Tell them that Christ saved you. Amen? And two times at least in the book of Acts where Paul is given an opportunity to give a testimony, both times he just tells them what Christ did in his life. Now, everybody here, if you're saved, you can tell somebody what Christ did in your life. Not a problem at all with that. You go in and just tell him, here's what Christ did for me. And he did great things, didn't he? And then, I like the rest of this. They were amazed in verse 21. What, is not this he that destroyed them? And they couldn't believe that he had changed. Just a little thought there. People can see the difference in you. I told you this story about Watchman Nee, that man that wrote that book, and how when he got saved, he made a list of, I think it was about 70 people, and he started praying for them, and all but one or two of them got saved. But many of them said they could see what God did in his life, and so they got saved. And that's what God does. But look at verse 22, and we'll kind of tighten this up a little bit. It says, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. You see, the Jews knew that Christ was coming, but they did not want to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. But Paul increased the more in strength. God can change us, and we will keep growing as long as we're on this earth. You haven't arrived yet. We talked about that in Philippians a while back. God's still working with you, isn't he? What's God going to do this week, perhaps, to cause you to gain some strength in him, to give you more ability and to give you a better fellowship? So all these things that happened with Paul, his prayer, his baptism, his companionship, his speech, his strength, these all changed. And folks, if God's going to use us, we want him to do that in us. You say, well, I'll just pray one time, Pastor, and I'll take care of it. I don't think so. I think we have a lifelong struggle. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. He said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I know as long as we're alive, we're going to wrestle and struggle in the flesh. But God can give you victory. One day at a time, one step at a time. Anybody here that stopped and thought about it could tell me, if you're saved, I'm different than I was before I got saved. But we ought to be able to say, I'm different than I was a couple of years ago. And you say, well, is that true about everyone? It's true about me. I've learned some things in the last couple of years. I've seen God do some things in the last couple of years I never had seen before. God's not done with you yet. Make yourself available to him. Ask him to change you. The whole goal here is, Lord, we want to be useful to you. We never hear any more about Ananias. This is the last thing except for Paul's testimony about him in Acts chapter 22. But when God wanted to use him, he was ready and he was greatly used. And although the Bible doesn't mention it, I strongly suspect that Ananias did some more things later on. You might not be well known. You might not be in the Bible. You might not be a famous Christian or writer or pastor or missionary or evangelist. But you know what? You can be available to God, obedient to God, in fellowship with God, used by God. And folks, when you step into eternity, your name might not be in the Bible like Ananias is, but the Lord will know you. And he'll reward you and tell you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Paul remembers again in Acts chapter 22, many years later, he records or rehearses to these people in Acts 22 what Ananias did and the part Ananias played in your life, in his life. And here's a final thought, and that would be, don't be satisfied to be saved. Make a difference in somebody's life. Make a difference in somebody's life this week. And then keep doing that over and over and over again. We have some young people. They're back in the back with Carlos tonight. And they're living in a world that is wicked. And from time to time, we take them, we go buy them a milkshake, or we take them out and put some door hangers on doors, or we take them here and there and do things with them, make them buy them a hamburger or something like that. And I found out a long time ago, and I think you understand this, if you're going to make a difference in somebody's life, you're going to have to take some of what you consider to be your time and give it to them. And you can do a little of that, or you can do a lot of that. Because doesn't God provide for us and take care of us and give us a lot of time that we don't need in order? We haven't got to work 24 hours a day to survive. God meets our needs. Take some of your time, like many of you do, and make a difference for some other believer. You say, well, Pastor, I'm young. What would I do? Oh, I don't know. I'd make friends with another young person and direct them towards Christ. You say, Pastor, I'm a little older. What would I do? I don't know. Spend some time with a fellow believer here in church, or We've had some folks that have done things for other people, or come out on visitation, or come on Wednesday night and pray for folks, or when VBS gets closer, take a job in VBS and do your best at it, or come on visitation for the bus on Saturday morning, amen? Or there's things you can do with your time that makes a difference in other people's lives. And folks, if we would do enough of that, we'd see God bless in a greater way. Please, Lord, use me. And the Lord says, I want to use you, but I need some things from you. I need you to be available. I need you to have fellowship with me so that I can talk to you when the time comes. I need you to be obedient. I need you to let me change you and make you what you want to, I want you to be. And God can do that. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.